book club. Clap your hands. Comic book club, comic book club. Join Alex, not Justin, because he's unavailable. They sit on crappy couches and let the secrets leak. There you go. Grab your inhalers and don't be late for it, because their girlfriends can barely tolerate it at the comic book club. Woo! Comic book club. Comic book club. Comic book club. Everybody, your hosts, Alex Alvin and Pete LePage! Comic book club, comic book club.
What's up, everybody? Kimmy Gatewood!
Kimmy Gatewood live!
Oh my
Kimmy
goodness.
Gatewood live!
So exciting. Thank you so much for coming to Comic Book Club, everybody. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And as mentioned, Justin, despite coming out to Los Angeles, is unavailable. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah. But Kimmy, for those of you who don't know, did the theme song to our show 10 years ago?
That's correct.
Yes. Here's my favorite part. Maybe I misunderstood the lyrics. Yeah. But my favorite part is where you talk about our girlfriends can barely tolerate it.
Yeah.
And we've all got married, had babies, gone through various marriages at this point. So yeah. Change the song.
All right, I'll change it.
Change the song.
Don't change the word. It's fantastic. Also, she was, if you go way back in our archive, she's been on the show numerous times as well. She's also a very hilarious woman, other than musically inclined.
Know nothing
comedy.
About comic books, so
I'm
a huge asset to the show.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming out, Kimmy. And for those guys, if you're listening at home, it doesn't matter because you're listening in your home, but we're in Los Angeles today, and in case that wasn't clear, we're at the Nerd Melt in Los Angeles.
Sunny LA.
Sunny LA. How have you been enjoying LA so far, Pete?
Man, I had a chai latte outside. I am living the life.
Oh. As a comic book reader, I went outside and immediately got burned on my neck. So there we go.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for coming out. Very exciting. Yeah. We have an awesome guest. He's one of our favorite people to talk to, and we're so excited to come out to LA so we can finally have him on the show and talk to him in person. He's the head of Marvel TV. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Loeb!
Jeff Loeb!
Showtime.
Showtime. Amazing. Jeff,
well,
thank you.
I like that. I can you come to the office? That would be awesome. Have that play all the time.
Yeah, you don't have musical accompaniment at the Marvel offices?
No, we're lucky we have offices. So.
Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. You have...
Well, first of all, I have to tell everybody, you tricked me.
We did? We tricked you.
Because you told me that it was going... Because we go back a long way.
Yeah, we do.
So... And I would tease them because I would say they were Pete, Pete, and Pete. Mostly because I couldn't remember Alex and Justin's name.
Sure.
So it was just easy just to call them Pete, Pete, and Pete.
Yep.
So the fact that Justin isn't here was the trick. Because I thought we were putting the band back together.
Yeah,
again.
It was.
But for some reason, Ringo couldn't show up. So we got to kind of figure out how we're going to do this. And fabulous, but not... Come on. I mean, we actually even have a chair for Elijah.
Yeah, there we go. We got a water chair out here.
So that's what's going on.
That's exciting.
We go back far enough that I would go on the show, and you would defend me.
Yep.
And Alex and Justin would just go, the stuff you do is shit. We hate you.
What? No.
You write the worst comics ever. Are you kidding me? The Red Hulk? Have you read Ultimatum? That's the worst thing I've ever read in my entire life. You used to do good stuff. Then all of a sudden, what happened? You did Long Halloween, and now you're doing all that stuff in Marvel. It's crap.
And I'd be sitting there going, why am I on this show?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And I would get red in the face defending.
Right there. He'd be right there with me, and I'd go, these two guys are here to kill me. It's
gross misrepresentation.
No, I think it's pretty fair. Uh-huh. But I came back. Because now nobody makes fun of the television show.
Yeah, that's right. They're all amazing.
They're they're like my little shield.
Get it? Some smart people in the audience.
You almost think I plan these things, but I don't.
I would like to talk about since we're down memory lane. I have here a T-shirt that I saved from many years ago. It's a Heroes TV shirt.
Many years ago, he wore it yesterday.
Yeah, I wish I could still fit in it. But So basically, it was a New York Comic Con many years ago, and we interviewed him and when we were in like some big skybox, and it was like a big deal. And we were talking about how we were sad because
now
we're
in a basement over at John's house.
Yeah, exactly. But we were sad because all the like hero stuff was gone, and he was like, "Oh, don't worry, I got you." So he walked us down to this big like. I don't know, booth, and he walked behind the thing and just started grabbing t-shirts. And this lady was like, sir, and he was like, yeah, I'm in charge of your show, it's okay. And like gave us all t-shirts, and it was just like a really amazing moment, and I saved the t-shirt because I geeked out about it.
Yeah. That's very sweet.
You can tell I have power over t-shirts.
Yeah.
So you can really say I'm a player.
Well, I know you were saying that the TV is your shield, pun intended, but I want to talk about the comic books for a second because
sure.
I know...
Because you haven't got enough slings in.
No, listen. We love your comic book work, and I think the last thing you wrote at this point was Nova, right?
Is that Cap White.
Cap White.
Cap White was
so
the...
you've gone... I mean, you started as a movie TV...
Started out in movies. The first thing I did was a little movie called Teen Wolf.
Right.
With Michael J. Fox, not the thing that's on MTV. The thing on MTV, my name is on it, but... but great, it's 6 years, go. We like that. I can buy lunch. The next movie was Commando with Schwarzenegger. Yeah. And then I wrote a whole bunch of movies that this is how you make a living out here, which is you write movies that never get made. And then I was writing sequels to movies where I didn't want to go see the first movie. And then made a movie, and it made a lot of money. And so I sort of thought, okay, now's a really good time. I mean, it was sort of like, I'd done that for about 15 years, and really, really lucky because it just sort of went from job to job. And if you're a writer and you're working in Hollywood and you get to work, you're lucky. So the fact that I kept working must mean something. And then at the same time, I was working in comics. And then around that time, I met Rob Liefeld, and then we did Awesome together. And then Awesome imploded, not because of anything that we did, but because of the business side of it. Mm-hmm. We were doing really well, and it changed. And so then I came back, and the town, which is such a forgiving place, said, we've never heard of you. And I was like, I was only gone a year and a half. And it wasn't like I was in Ethiopia. I was literally down the street. But I had to reinvent myself, and so started in doing animation, and then that's how I met Joss Whedon, and we did Buffy, and then Buffy led to Smallville, and Smallville led to Lost, and Lost led to Heroes. And then after I left Heroes, the folks at Marvel got purchased by Disney, and then Dan Buckley and Joe Quesada asked whether or not I would run the television division, and so that's 30 years in 30 seconds.
Perfect. Nice. Great. So being head of Marvel TV, you are really involved in the creative process, but it's a different part of your brain, I think, than when you're writing comics. Is there one you're more drawn to than the other?
They're just very different things. I mean, I was on particularly in Smallville and Heroes, I was somehow, because I have no memory of how I did this, and no, I wasn't high.
thank you for clarifying.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, with this group, I don't know. People here aren't even going to remember they were here today. But I was writing, in some cases, 3 or 4 books a month, which is what a regular comic book writer does if he wants to pay the rent. And so I was doing that and working on a show. So I have no idea how I was doing that. So by but now, it's sort of physically impossible. It's just there are now that we can talk about. There's 10 shows that we're looking after. and people seem to like him, which is the good thing. And we're very hands-on. We're not, because there's a world where, as people know, there are other companies that own our characters, and so they go and they make what they make with them. Fantastic Four.
I was wondering if you were just.
And all we can do is go, well, that's interesting. but then, you know, sometimes we get them back, like Daredevil. And then we can go and sort of show what we're doing. Ghost Rider is another one, absolutely. Thank you, who's ever in the audience helping me. You know, that hopefully there'll come a time when even more things that we do can come back to us, because I don't know that we have any kind of, you know, magic potion or anything, but I think the people that are working have a very clear identity with those characters and very much enjoy the DNA of those characters. And so we're not terribly interested in, you know, what someone else thinks it ought to be.
Right.
You know, we're sort of interested in what it was in the comics, what the IP, the intellectual property, means at the end of the day. And for us, a lot of that just, you know, I can't really tell you what Marvel means, but I sort of know it when I see it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that sort of means that our heroes are very aspirational. It's really important to us that it's that way, that they are characters that you look up to as opposed to you're dismissive of. That generally, that they are men, and we always try to start with who is Matt Murdock as opposed to who is Daredevil.
Right.
We're not going to tell a story about a guy that comes from another planet and lands here and puts on a cape and goes out and fights crime. That
who are you referring to?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, somebody might tell that story. Hyperion. You know, so it's really important to us that you are emotionally attached to the individual before they put on the cape or they put on the cowl or they don't put on anything at all.
Right.
I mean, they have clothes, but...
I just want to interrupt you. Do you think you will ever do a nude superhero?
I
really go for it. You're on Netflix.
Yeah. No. And just imagining that question makes me uncomfortable.
Good.
But, you know, I mean, maybe a baby. I do think that it is important that you really do understand that we always start with, you know, who is Jessica Jones? Who is Phil Coulson? Who is Agent Carter? You know, who are these people before they have to go out and do their job?
Right.
And that job is generally something they didn't ask for. You know, Dr. Banner, stricken by gamma rays, turns into the Hulk. Not the Hulk is running around, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, by the way, he also happens to be Dr. Banner. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you can nail the human part, then the superhuman part gets a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
At least for us, I can't speak to everybody. It's just what we try to start with.
It's been such a interesting path to watch from the outside over the past couple of years, where I remember being in that New York Comic Con panel where you brought out Clark Gregg and surprised everybody that he was coming back as Phil Coulson on S.H.I.E.L.D. And I know these things take years and years, but at that time it felt like, wow, Marvel TV show. There's a Marvel TV show.
I mean, the part that's amazing to me, and it speaks volumes about two things. One, about our fans, who I'm so incredibly grateful to, who have just sort of stayed through and said, yeah, go, do, try to make it work. And then, you know, threw rocks beforehand and said, this is going to suck. We know it is. It doesn't. So there's that. But the other part of it is that we have this just awesome team of people. Jim Corey, who's our head of production, and Megan Thomas Bradner, who runs development, and Karim Zarek, who does current. These are just names that I'm throwing out to you guys, but they are the Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko of my world. They're like these are the guys that make the shows. I'm the guy that's like, we should do a Daredevil show. And then everyone goes, okay.
I'm glad that you did that. Yeah. Good call.
Thanks. Sometimes I have a one that works. Yeah.
Was there a moment when you realized, okay, creatively, this is working? I mean, where it went from, we don't know how this is going to be responded to, we don't know how this is going to work, to, all right, we're firing on all cylinders right now?
No.
No.
I mean, look, every night is opening night. I feel that way about everything I've ever written. I feel that way about anything that I've ever produced. You try, you hope in your heart, and you come from a really honest place. I sit with the showrunners and the writers and the actors and the production people all the time, and I say it all the time. We're looking for the truth in the scene. What would really happen if this were happening is the thing that you always ask. And how far can we push the envelope? Is it going to be too violent? Is it going to be too sexy? Is it going to be not who this hero is? Are they doing something that's unheroic? I'm not in this alone. I've got Alan Fine and Dan Buckley and Joe Quesada run the creative committee in New York. And so they're reading everything and giving us notes that sometimes are you guys out of your minds? And then we go back and sort of, either convince them or they convince us. And, it's all part of a much larger thing, which is incredibly boring to talk about, which is protecting the brand. Mm-hmm. Because there is something there about that. There is a reason why Marvel's been around for 75 years. There is a reason why Disney has been around forever. It's because there are people who really do care about that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I know as a fan, you're like, well I don't understand. I love my fan voice. It's so as a fan, you're like, well, I don't regular, like Daredevil should just be able to chop off Punisher's head. That'd be so cool. And I go, yeah, but I don't want that to happen. I need both those people to be alive. And so that's, those are the kinds of conversations that we have.
Well, I tell you, Jessica Jones, for me, is a great example because not one of my favorite characters, but the TV show was amazing. And now I'm like a huge fan of it.
Thank you. And thank you. We worked really hard on that show. I'll be honest with you, every day there was never a question that what Kristen Ritter and Rachel Taylor and Carrie Ann Moss and thank David Tennant, what they were doing was extraordinary. There wasn't any doubt about that. It was just a question as to whether or not anybody other than us was going to care, really. Yeah. And like I said, every night is opening night, so you just don't know. And when the reviews started coming in and they were like beyond largely positive and then they went on Netflix. And as you know, Netflix doesn't tell you your ratings. So we don't know. I mean,
they don't even tell you the ratings?
No. They don't tell anybody the ratings. And so the only thing that you do is you just wait until they call and go, we'd like to do another season. Like that's the only way I'm really sure.
They don't tell you views or anything like that.
No.
Wow.
No, just how
you should
are.
Just put them up on YouTube. Then you can see them really easy.
They do hold things like social media and the reviews as something that's a really good indicator. So if you're doing well in the Rotten Tomatoes of it all, that's a good indication of what's going on. But really, at the end of the day, I do respect what it is that they're doing. They're a subscription service.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how many people are watching. It's whether or not you're buying it for the next month. Mm-hmm. And if they see it so where people are buying more, that's good. And if people are buying less, that's bad. I'm very proud of the fact that, we've gone from, they did this unprecedented thing. They bought 5 series from us, like, without anything attached. It was just me and Megan in a room going, then this is going to happen, and then wouldn't it be cool if this happened? And then they were like, yeah, And so we were like, what?
Oh, God, now we need to make these.
Exactly. Now we have to make them. and so when they called and they said that they wanted a second season of Daredevil, we were like, what? Sure. Like, we'll see you in 2017. And they were like, no, we want it now. Wow. And we were like, okay. Well, we hadn't really planned on that. And now there's a third season of Daredevil and a second season of Jessica Jones. And yeah.
And then Punisher.
And then Punisher came out of the sky. I mean, it was just like, I mean, we were watching John on set every day and going, oh, this is great. Yeah. We should have a show with him.
Yeah.
But it was only till after the show came on that they called and they went, well, do you think you could make a show with him? And we were like, okay, sure.
Well, that's the nice thing, too, is you have all this back material. It's not like you have to start over of, like, what do we do with this new character? I mean, you have all this.
Yes, it's true. And in some cases, it's really helpful.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you're like, wow, what are we going to do here? And how do we make this translate? And how do we – and the choices that we make along the way and all that stuff. And you know, we don't do what the movies do. The movies can do anything.
Right.
First of all, they only have to fill up 2 hours. And secondly, they've got like $200 million and they can make it a big, huge, rollicking, like they can make a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky if we can make a hot dog. but it'll be a damn good hot dog.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the kind of thing that television is. You know, we try to create shows where people engage with the characters. And then every now and then try to get in something that looks cool. If we can do cool will get you through.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of cool, Luke Cage looks really cool.
Great transition.
Yeah. September 30th on Netflix, only on Netflix. Cheo Coker is our showrunner. And he had a real passion for this character and really wanted to tell a great story. Mike Coulter, who plays Luke, it's a true story. We are, as opposed to everything else I told you. but we were casting on Jessica Jones, and so we had to cast Luke at that time, which is a huge risk to, like, go, okay, well, this guy's going to be in 5 or 6 episodes of Jessica Jones, and then we're going to give him his own series. Try doing that at home, kids. you'll get hurt. And so I came up on the elevator. We were over at the ABC building, and so I came up on the elevator, and the guy that gets on, like, I look at him, and then he got off on the third floor, and I got off on the fifth floor, and I go into the casting office, and there's like 10 people in there. And I go, I came up on the elevator with Luke Cage. And they were like, you mean you came up with an actor who's going to play Luke Cage? I said, no, this is the guy. Luke Cage came up on the elevator.
And you knew that because he didn't actually leave on a floor. He burst out between the floors.
Exactly. Okay. There were bullets bouncing off of him while we were there. And it was Mike. And then when he came in and he read, everyone in the room turned to me and went, was that the guy? And I went, that's the guy. thank Odin that he could act, because that made a big difference.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting to me about the progression of the Netflix shows, and this is only as a watcher, is that Daredevil to me felt like the idea behind it was almost Daredevil done right, that this is Daredevil out of the comics. But then you have this progression to Jessica Jones. It was a lot of things, but it was very focused on assault and codependence and owning another person and exploring that from every aspect. And then as far as we've heard about Luke Cage, it's very music-focused and very music-influenced. So from the creative perspective, have you guys looked to push things further and further with each series? Is that from the showrunner down, or how is that?
Well, I look at the movies and I go. It started out with Iron Man, and then it became the Hulk, and then there was and they were sort of shooting those simultaneously, and then they did Thor, and then they did Cap, and then they did the Avengers. And each one of those movies are very different movies. They have a very different feel to them. They have different directors. They have different writers. And yet, when you watch them, they really are sort of standalone, but they feel part of a universe.
Right.
And that's all we really tried to do. You know, the Steve DeKnight and Drew Goddard, who were responsible for the first season of Daredevil, and Doug Petrie and Marco Ramirez, who were responsible for the second season of Daredevil, you know, we were just trying to tell the best Daredevil stories that we could. But there are other things that are underneath it in terms of, you know, we wanted to say a little something about what it's like to be handicapped in, you know, in present day society, and the fact that Matt's blind, and what justice is, and whether or not justice is ever anything that you would ever get a sort of a fair trial, I think, is one of the things that we were getting into. But nobody, it's one of the things I talk about a lot, is that nobody's interested in watching us get up on a soapbox. If they wanted to do that, they could watch the news. And so what we try to do is do an entertaining show, and then if you get a little something out of it, great. And it's the same thing, like, now, in retrospect, people go, wow, you know, Jessica really made an interesting point about the way that men abuse women, and about, you know, what happens in that world, and how women can empower themselves and they should fight back. But it was never Melissa Rosenberg, who's the showrunner on that show, it was never her idea that she was going to do some sort of feminist doctrine. It's been written about that way, mm-hmm. but it really was about a woman who was simply trying to get her life together, and that something terrible had happened to her, and now she was trying to survive. And from our first conversations, it was like, okay, let's pretend that Jessica had gotten divorced, or let's pretend that Jessica had lost her job, or let's pretend that Jessica was an addict and was now trying to prove to people that she wasn't that anymore, or a drunk who was trying to prove that she wasn't that anymore, and take it at that level, and then see whether or not the story will work from there. And again, it's always about that choice to be a hero, that choice to stand up when everybody else tells you to sit down. And if we can get that across, the audience will come with us. They'll get in the car and they'll go on the adventure. And the same thing happens with Luke. It would be dishonest of us to take a character who was, for all intents and purposes, the first black street superhero ever. Like, when Luke Cage, Hero for Hire, came out at the beginning, like, you could look at a rack of comics, it didn't look like any other comic that was out there. And it had a voice that was different from every other comic that was out there. And so we have a responsibility to make sure that the television show has that same kind of feel, mm-hmm. but by the same token, it is very much the story of a guy who has to accept what he did in his past and how he's going to try to go forward. There's a line that's in the beginning of the movie, which is about forward always. And what's interesting is that everybody that's in that cast, whether it's Alfre Woodard or it's Mahershala Ali or Simone Missick, who plays Misty Knight, you know, they're all trying to move forward as well. They just may find that Luke's standing in front of them and they're not going anywhere. But is the show going to touch on, you know, elements of race and elements of what's happening in our world right now? Yes, but not in a way that, again, it's not a
soapbox.
It's not a soapbox. It's and if we come out of it, and if you've watched 13 hours of Luke Cage and then watch it again and then watch it again, that you have that much more tolerance for what's going on out in the world, good on us.
Yeah.
But if you come out of it and go, wow, it's really cool when he lifted up that car and he threw it over the other thing, good on us. I mean, we want that to happen too. You know, we're telling an adventure, and we want people to get involved in that adventure.
Yeah. Looking forward to Iron Fist. I know it's a little early, but is there a idea behind that or a germ behind that?
And when we get there, we can talk about that.
Okay.
Great. Good try.
Cool.
It was an interesting play.
All right. Well, I tried. Let's take a little step back then, actually. One thing I wanted to talk about that I think is I've always been curious about is how do you apportion the characters? I mean, we saw Punisher go to Daredevil to Netflix. We see Ghost Rider is going to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is very exciting, particularly because it's Robbie Reyes, who I love. How do you make those decisions? Is it based on the story? Is it based on what the showrunner requests?
It's always based on story. It never is based on anything else.
So you guys don't have a character wheel that you're just spinning? Just boom.
It's more like a dartboard. At the end of the day, no matter what you take away from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's a story about family. And Phil Coulson is the father figure in that family, and it's a story about people who work together who have no other life. And so they've tried to find a life amongst themselves. Now, for a lot of people, it's a show about bunch of cool guys that are spies that are on a plane that's awesome, and they go out and blow shit up.
Right. Don't forget the flying car.
Don't forget the flying car. Yeah. But it always comes down to that. And so when we started talking about Ghost Rider, you know, what S.H.I.E.L.D. originally was conceived to do, and we want to get back to, is they go out and look at the weird and the unusual and the unexpected that's in the Marvel Universe, and they determine whether or not that is a danger to all of us. And if they are, then they deal with them, and if they're not, then they try to either bring them on board or they try to explain to them how the rules work and that kind of thing. And the world has changed post-Civil War so that the tolerance towards people who have abilities is getting less and less. Yeah. And in our real world, the tolerance towards people who are different is getting less and less, or at least being talked about a lot more. And so, you know, Marvel always works better when you can put us through the prism of what's going on in the real world. So if there's a guy running around in an awesome black GTO and you know, his flames are coming off his head, then that's weird. So someone's going to have to talk to him about that and where that goes. And Gabriel Luna, who we found to play that part, just owns it. He's just so cool.
One of my favorite aspects of Robbie Reyes, at least in the comics, is he, beyond being a mechanic, beyond being the Ghost Rider, he also has a younger brother, Gabe, who he has to take care of, who's developmentally disabled, and it provides another challenge for him in terms of balancing things. Are we going to see Gabe on the show?
Yeah. No, again, that's the other reason why it was so important to us is that, you know, when I was talking about family, you know, Robbie inherently is a story about family. It's a story about an older brother who has to take care of his younger brother, but as I think you start to realize is that the younger brother is really taking care of the older brother. And that dynamic is very Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so watching that and seeing that on Peele and seeing where it's going to go is something that's really exciting to us. And hopefully something that gets you engaged so that, yeah, it's super cool to see a guy with a flaming skull, but that you're also like, you're very involved with what's going on in his real world life.
Yeah. I want to get through these guys' questions in a second, but before we do, I just wanted to ask you about beyond the Netflix stuff, beyond ABC stuff, you also have these shows that you're doing with FX.
Yeah, well, we're doing one show with FX and one show with Fox.
Yeah, so what are we calling those? Are we allowed to say X-Men?
Well, Legion is the creation and the work of Noah Hawley, and if you don't watch Fargo, go home and watch Fargo, and then get your mind blown, and then go, and this guy's going to play with the X-Men universe, and that'll be awesome. And what he's doing and what he's, the stories that he's telling very much feel like the X-Universe, but also feel something that's very FX, which is a very specific kind of place to be. It's a really smart network, they promote gorgeously. And so Legion will be out early next year. That's currently shooting. The other is just sort of, we refer to that as the untitled Fox project, which is always a good title.
I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
And Matt Nix, who gave you Burn Notice for a long time, just came in and told a story to us that was about, again, the X universe, to me, having both worked in it and admired it, works best when it's about family, and so that's pretty much what that's about.
So are these set in the X-Men movie universe, or are they separate?
These are set. I think the safest place for me to go is they're set in the X universe, okay. And that's the way that we talk about them. So they'll be references to their own world that they live in, but there won't be any. They won't cross back into and say, well, I hope that Phil Coulson's going to come by in the next episode, because right. That ain't going to happen.
Is this just a way to get people to not ask you about Jennifer Lawrence showing up all the time?
You know, if she would stop calling, that would help. I have to be really clear about something, and that is the Fox movies are still the responsibility of 20th Century Fox. The fact that the television group has been able to sort of figure out this sort of nook that we can go into, and working with people like John Landgraf, who's at FX, and people like David Madden, who was at Fox, has just been extraordinary. And I have to give a big shout out to Lawrence Shuler Donner and Bryan Singer, and in particular Simon Kinberg, who, you know, you guys know from all of his DC work and Star Wars, and but also, you know, this is the guy who's really been sort of driving the X universe. And so he's very much my counterpart across the way. And so it's somebody that I can talk to on a regular basis about, wouldn't it be cool if this was something that we could do? We'll see where it takes us. Everybody wants all these characters to play together. Just, you also have to be practical about it, which is there was a time when Marvel sold those rights. And so those people that are now the rights holders are going, we don't want to play with you. And so that you just go, okay, well, I guess there's nothing we can do about that. You know, it's the same question that we get all the time, which is, you know, is there ever going to be a Justice League Avengers movie? I don't know, but my instinct is no. Because, you know, there's people at Warner Brothers and people at Disney are looking at each other going, what do we need that for? We're making our own shows.
All right, very cool.
And I just got in a lot of trouble, so.
Well, thanks for
that'll
doing
appear
that
somewhere, and Jeff Loeb explains why we're never going to see a Justice League Avengers movie, and I'll be like, I didn't say that.
There we go. This directly gets typed onto the internet. So
exactly.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section. It's your audience questions.
Q&A. It's a Q&A, which stands for questions and answers. Yeah.
All right, can we get one, everybody? Okay, so raise your hand.
Seriously, would you come to the office on Monday and just, we're all going to lunch now, and then we're going to all go out and get drinks now, and that's all we do.
Yeah. Jeff makes a really good hot dog, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Kimmy, I think you're fired. Jeff is going to sing the rest of the show.
Okay, great. No, I understand.
Cool, raise your hand. You can ask questions about absolutely anything nerd stuff for our amazing guest, of course. You, sir, I saw your hand come up first. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Jason.
Hey, Jason.
My question is, Suicide Squad came out very recently. I was wondering what your favorite scene with Slipknot, because he had so many. What was your favorite scene with him?
Pete, you saw Suicide Squad, right?
I did see it. I would like to go on record saying it didn't make... I didn't hate it as much as Batman versus Superman, so that was a win. I would say my favorite Croc thing is when he...
Slipknot, not Croc.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Slipknot, Croc, sure. The joke about Slipknot, Pete, is he's in one scene.
I know, I remember. I would have to just say, like, I got to see him go flying up that, you know, he shot up the grappling hook and followed it up there, and I was like, bye, Slipknot. Just, thank you for those moments. Yeah, he got to use his weapon, so, you know, you die after that.
Oh. Jeff, do you get to see movies anymore, or are you...
Generally, like, long after everybody's made fun of them.
Okay. So. All right, there we go. Cool. My, not Slipknot, but love Scott Eastwood in that movie. He was amazing. No. He was just a random character who got blown up. Okay. Who else? You, ma'am, right back there. I can't come around to you because there's going to make a horrible sound with the speakers, so why don't you come over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Celia.
Hi,
First
Celia.
Of all, I'm a huge fan of all the shows. I think you're doing a terrific job.
Thank you.
Especially with the synchronicity and how they all come together. But Agent Carter was such a well-done show. So sad it's not coming back. But are we going to see Peggy Carter come back in any of your other series?
The short answer is I hope so. The longer answer is we're incredibly lucky that Haley Atwell graced us with her incredible talent and the fact that she keeps going out and telling people that she would love to play that part again.
She was amazing.
Which by the way, I have to tell you, a lot of actors, they go, yeah, I'm not doing that ever again. And so she's super cool to be able to do that. I actually have been quoting her a lot over the weekend because I've been getting asked this a lot, and that is, you know, she talks about how long Peggy's career lasted, so that, the short answer is I hope so. I mean, it may not be now, it may be sometime in the future. I think it's hard for people that aren't doing what we do to understand that, like, they look at the movie studio and the movie studio goes, well, you know, 2019, we're going to do Captain Marvel. And everybody goes, awesome. And somewhere there's a theater that's going, hope I get it. But in the television business, like I can stand up and say in 2019, we're doing Peggy Carter, and the network's going to go, no, you're not. and because I have to have a network that will come to us and say, we want to do this. So... And for whatever reason, ABC decided that they're not going to do that. We can still go someplace else, but again, it's hard. You know, it's there's just not a lot of people that immediately then go, sure, we'll take that show that was on another network and try it on our network. It happens sometimes, but when you think about all the television you've ever watched in your life, all the shows that went off the air, the number of times that they ever came back, except to the place where they may have started again, like, you know, like X-Files came back to Fox years later. So nothing's impossible, and the Carter fans are many and strong, and I encourage them to continue to go out there. We had a lot of fun making the show. You know, what's really hard is that nobody really remembers it. We only made 18 of them, and that's two seasons. We made 8, and then we made 10. Tara and Michelle, who are our showrunners, just worked, tirelessly to make it a really cool show. We didn't get to make another one. I that's all I know, and I hope we do.
I know a lot of fans have said, and I know specifically just based on what you just said, this isn't as easy as all that, but they say, just make a Netflix movie. Come on, make a Netflix movie. Do you see, because you have the ABC shows, you're going to have the Freeform show, you have the Netflix show, is there the possibility of back and forth like that?
Again, I think anything is possible. You have to remember that it's much easier when you're having a conversation between Freeform and ABC, because they're both Disney-owned companies, to see something like that, as opposed to if I'm having that conversation between a Disney-owned network and a Fox-owned network or a Netflix-owned network, it just, again, everybody, it's all their thing. I'm not a sports guy, but it's kind of like, well, why can't that team play against that team? Well, because they're in two different divisions, idiot. And I'm the idiot.
Pete,
it's like
that.
It's like
is that accurate to sports?
Yeah, it is. It is accurate.
All right, thank you.
So I'm the sports guy on the show. I'll back that up.
There you go. Yep. So I mean, it's just it's that kind of thing where it's just no matter what we want to have happen, there's different divisions that sort of make those things possible or impossible. But whoever thought that I'd be sitting here talking about an X-Universe show. I didn't, so, it's cool.
Cool. All right, let's get another question. You, sir, right here. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Bryce. And
hey, Bryce.
I was wondering, do you think you would want to start working with the Marvel movies and also to see the Netflix shows, characters, like maybe go into the Marvel universe?
Well, we're all part of the same universe. I mean, if you watch it, you do see that we do mention those other things. But if you're asking me specifically, I think what the guys do in the movie business is awesome. I think what we're trying to do is, I mean, we're really young. That's part of what's going on. I mean, we've only been making television shows for 3 years now. And so I think as we get a little bit further along and as we get more established and people start to see what it is that we're doing, anything's possible. I hope so. I'm with you in terms of what could be possible. And we'll see what happens. I mean, that's all I can really do is just sort of join us on this adventure. We had this get together yesterday where some of the cast that had never met each other were all together, and I sort of looked out over it, and the joke was that if we had had that meeting, it was a mixer, I guess, 3 years ago, I would have been the only one there, maybe Megan. and so that would have been fun for nobody. So the fact that this has sort of grown as quickly as it has, each step, I think, is one of those things. I mean, I remember as a fan, wondering whether or not we were ever going to get to see, Iron Man and Captain America in a movie together. And we had to wait for the Avengers for that to happen. And then once that happened, I thought it was really cool in Thor 2 that, Captain America had like a little cameo thing that happened in there. Sorry, spoiler. If you haven't seen Thor 2 at this point, I can't really help you. But it's stuff like that. It's little bits and pieces. And I personally don't want to see, Tony Stark driving across the street and he almost hits blind Matt Murdock, who's walking there with Foggy, and then he leans on his horn, and that's it. To me, that's kind of, if we're going to do it, let's do it. So maybe.
Cool. I think we have time for one or two more questions if anybody has anything. Anybody? You, sir, right there. Why don't you come up here so we don't get horrible speaker noise. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Oscar. And
what's up, Oscar?
I got to say I'm a very big fan of Japanese comics. And one of the things about Japanese comics is that there's a whole bunch of genres, especially sports, which is kind of surprising that you don't see a lot here in America since there's so much love for sports. Do you guys know why?
Yeah. So basically, they're nerds who can't do sports. So they focus on comics and reading and becoming smart people. And then there are
athletes. And getting the girls.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just a little bit of separate worlds. It's now more of a, I was freaking out because on Friday at Yankee Stadium was Star Wars night. And they had R2-D2 hats with a Yankee symbol on it. And I was like, what the fuck? This is crazy. Because here are two worlds that don't normally mix together at Yankee Stadium. And it was funny to me because every time they put a player on the screen, like if it was the bad guys, they got Stormtrooper outfits. And if it was the good guys, they had like X-Wing fighter outfits on. And I was like, the detail on this was, I was totally geeking out. But then there are all these athletes like, what the fuck? I can't even see the guy because he looks like a stormtrooper, And it's like, this isn't for you. But it's kind of smaller niches where it's not universally everybody kind of together. So the long-winded answer to that.
I will say there's one place where it has mixed, and I'm going to make one request to you for these X-Universe shows. Can we please have these mutant characters play a baseball game at some point?
Don't listen to him.
I have been to 30,000 X-Men movies, and they have yet to play a baseball game.
Approximately. It's so funny, because when I was working in the X-Men office, it's the thing that we used to always talk about, which was like, what's this... What's this issue going to be? And Scott Lobdell would inevitably go, well, we could start with a baseball game. that's all the fun of what it is that we get to do, is that for so long, all of our hopes and dreams and imagination has been on a piece of paper that has been drawn by incredibly talented people and written by incredibly talented people. And now... they're coming off the page, and they're running around in movie theaters, and they're running around in video games, and they're running around in on the television and on your computer and your phone. And the fact this happened in my lifetime is, I just, where's my flying car? Like, and it, where's my where's my jetpack? I was told in the year 2000 I'd get a jetpack.
But you do get your characters on screen, you know, so it's...
Yeah, no, they do, and it's weird and fun, and, you know, I got asked this question, again, I've just been doing a lot of interviews this week, because everyone's in town for what's called the Television Critics Association, TCA, so you do a lot of promoting for the different shows, and... Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming on at the end of September, September 20th on ABC, and Marvel's Luke Cage is on September 30th on Netflix. So I did a lot of that, but one of the things, questions I got asked, which is, you know, do I still get excited about it? And I literally looked at this woman and I said, every day, like the dailies come in and I look at it and I go, I can't, like, Iron Fist just opened up a can of whoop-ass, and that's like the coolest thing in the world. And by the way, what Finn Jones is doing, playing Danny Rand, you guys are going to go out of your minds. And Jessica Henwick, you know, is playing Colleen Wing. Like, between the two of them, like, it is a fanboy's, fan man, fan woman's dream, because it looks like... Like it does. Like you just sort of go, oh, well, that looks right, and they're just terrific together. They have great chemistry, and boy, they bust up a lot of things.
Great, that's all great news.
Yeah. All right, we can take one more question. Quick one, you said.
I just want to know whose idea was it to do all Gangstar music for Luke Cage?
Yeah,
I absolutely do not.
You look like a Gangstar fan.
You should, yeah, me. You know, I'd have Frank Sinatra through the whole thing, you know, and it's everyone would be gone. That's cool, but I don't really get it. Chao Coker, who is our showrunner, actually came from, he was a music journalist before he started being a writer. He wrote the Biggie movie. The world of hip hop and him is something that's just, it's in his blood. And so, when he first came in and started talking about it, he said, you know, this is the Wu-Tangification of the Marvel Universe. And I was like, yeah. Okay, to great. Somebody, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just need to talk to you about who Luke Cage is. Music plays a huge part of what happens in that show. And a large part of it has to do with, we shoot up in Harlem for the show, and... You know, a lot of people don't really know that area and know what it looks like. So what you get architecturally, what you get culturally, what you get from the people, and then this word that Cheo and I have been using a lot, which is the musicality of it, and we don't even know if that's a real world, but we are using it. And so the fact that we've been able to get, you know, the music in there, and some of it's old and some of it's new and some of it's tomorrow sound, and... the guys that are doing the score live in that world, and so it just is something that I think people are going to get very excited about. At least we hope so. And again, like I said, it's opening night. Like we look at it and go, it's cool, and you guys have been so far really very excited about it, and excited about the little teasers and trailers that we've been putting out. All I can say is that, you know, I hope you like 13 hours of it, because it's a long journey.
All right, there we go. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, guys. Oh, well, it's time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Trivia.
Yeah. Awesome. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win a $20 gift card to Meltdown Comics. First hand up, guy. Oh, he beat you. I'm sorry, man. Come on up, sir. It's an how does this work? I'm going to read you three questions. If you get all three
here,
answers.
Come on over
correct.
Here.
Come on up.
Come here.
Come on up. Yeah.
Here you go.
Hi. Can I take justice?
Sure.
What is your name, sir?
I'm Matt.
Matt, audience, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
All right, so, Matt, today's trivia is on Jeff Loeb. So as long as you are familiar with everything he's done, you will be fine.
Can he call a friend?
No cheating. There's no cheating. By the way, you'll get these all right. Don't worry. Here we go. Jeff Loeb has written amazing stuff, but which one of these hasn't he written? Is it A, Superman for All Seasons, B, Batman Long Halloween, C, Captain America Falling Sun, or D, all of them? I did say he was amazing.
I believe your question was, which didn't he write? So yeah. I said all of them, wouldn't that indicate that he didn't write?
All right, well, I mean, let's not be a dick about this. I wrote this quickly, you know.
I think he's right.
Yeah, of course he's right. Okay, I'm not very smart. But please say D out loud so we can move on. Thank you. Oh, Matt, do you believe this guy? Whoo, should have gone with you. All right.
There you go.
He has worked in television as well as comics and movies. Which project has he not worked on? A, Daredevil. B, Lost. C, Teen Wolf. Or is it D, all of them? And also some Batman video games, which, I mean, how does the guy sleep?
No, he did it backwards again.
D asterisk, thank you. I'm not good at this. So I don't, you know, be put, you know, what are you going to want me to do? I made a mistake. I'm running with it.
Wait, done this for 10 years. He did it twice. Years.
Twice in a row. Guess what, guys? Okay. Number three is coming.
Does he know how to do this quiz? A, yes. B, no.
Yeah. Or C,
all of the above.
Let him continue.
The answer is always D.
Which one of these projects are you most looking forward to? Okay, and this one can be anything. Defenders, A, B, Luke Cage, or C, Cloak and Dagger? Which one are you honestly more looking forward to?
Iron Fist. Remember, this is a trivia question. Yeah. I'm going to go with Defenders.
Nice, Defenders, all right. Congratulations. All right, unbelievable.
Wow.
Spend it all in one place.
Wow, how did you know the answer to all those questions? Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Almost like I was helping.
Yeah. Man, Pete, that was worse than usual.
No, thank you. Well, we came all the way to LA. I wanted to make it worse than usual.
Great. Were you working on those on the plane ride out?
I should have been. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Before we go, we want to plug a couple of things. Jeff, I know you plugged some stuff just before, but what should people check out? What do they need to check out?
They sure need to check out Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which returns September 20th, Tuesday in our new time slot, 10 o'clock,
cool.
On ABC, and featuring Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
So that'll be super cool. And then on September 30th, because you'll have some time to enjoy your Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before you, and I do this every year, I apologize to the small business owners and to large corporations around the world that on September 30th, I'm sorry, everyone is not coming to work. they'll be home watching Marvel's Luke Cage on Netflix.
Yeah.
There we go. And Kimmy, what do you want to plug? What do you got going on?
I just directed a series called Junketeers for Comedy Central. It's available on YouTube right now. Please check it out. Follow me on Twitter at Kimmy Gatewood.
Oh. Yeah.
YouTube, they have video views on that, right?
What's that?
They have video views on YouTube, right? You actually, you get them.
I get video views on YouTube?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying you can track them.
Oh, yes,
Netflix.
You can, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand.
It was a
this
callback.
Is a comedy callback.
And it worked well.
Yeah. Things are going very well, you guys. So I think let's wrap it up. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
You can check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live, our website, comicbookclublive.com, or nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, if you're ever in New York, if you're in LA, our show is every Tuesday at 7:30 at the People's Improv Theater Loft. Totally free. Please tell your friends about it. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jeff for being on the show. We want to thank everybody at Nerd Melt for having us here.
Thanks, everybody.
And we want to thank Kimmy Gatewood, who's going to play a song. Kimmy, can you play a song to play us out?
Yes. Jeff, you don't have to listen to this if you need to go somewhere. I totally understand. This is a song about sexual intercourse. The laziest kind. Here we go. Turn off the lights. I don't really care. I'm taking off my clothes, but keeping my socks on, cause I'm cold. Let's get under the covers. I'll touch it for a minute. Then I'll turn over to the side so you can just stick it in there. Oh, oh. Lazy sexual. It's a sexual, but it's lazy, lazy, lazy sexual. Let's not get too crazy. Oh, we can hump and talk about our plans for Saturday. Wanna listen to a podcast about a Roman history? I need to update my address book. Ah, I forgot to tell you, your mom called. She sounded kind of pissed off. Off, lazy sexual. We're tired, but we're horny, horny. Lazy sexual. Just get it out of the way. Lazy sexual, the minimal amount of effort, effort. Lazy sexual, don't make me move too much, much, much. Oh, oh, I'm starting to get into this. Oh, let's get freaky and change positions. I'm gonna get on top while I do a handstand, do a cartwheel onto your dick. Wait! Let's wrap it up, cause I gotta leave early for a meeting in the morn. Also, don't forget to leave out the screwdriver for the maid so that she can do the windows. Lazy. Oh. Lazy.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it's not you, it's me. I was thinking about yawning and then I yawned.
Books. See, it's relevant.
Yeah. Kimmy Gatewood, everybody. Let's get another round for Jeff Loeb. Most well, thank you guys. Good night.
Comic book club. Comic book club. Comic book club. Comic book club.